Good morning. Hope you all enjoyed the keynote this morning. Today we've got a mixture of different people from across the open source education sector. We've tried to shift between having short talks and then having workshops, so you get to have a really good interactive play today. We're going to start this morning with Mark Osborne. Mark's the Deputy Principal at Albany Senior High School. So that's New Zealand's first state senior high school and open source school. Mark's pretty passionate about open source, and he's an advocate for many of the technologies that you're going to see today, from Moodle, Mahara, through Koha. He's also part of the Open Education Resource New Zealand planning team. So at Albany Senior High School, there are 200 computers with Ubuntu using various open source tools, and the students are designing some tools as well for the school and for the community. It's pretty awesome environment to be in at Albany Senior High School. So Mark's going to talk today about the process they went through to set this up and the future of this of the school and how they plan on continuing to use open source tools. So please put your hands together and welcome Mark.
Thank you. Kia ora everyone. This is not going to be a very technical talk because I'm not a very technical person. I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher, actually. I'm not very technically minded. If you do want to know more about how our system runs, how it's set up, talk to these three gentlemen here because they represent open system specialists who actually put the system together for us. I had a wish list and a dream, and they made it happen for me. So Patrick Brennan over in the corner is actually speaking on Friday afternoon about more of the technical side of things of how everything works. So I'm just going to come at it from an education point of view, what we were trying to achieve and what we think we've put together. So we are the country's, as far as I'm aware, the country's first reasonable scale open source school. There is a school. There are a few open source schools around, one in particular, Warrington Primary in Otago. Nathan Park is the principal there, and he is a real advocate of free and open software, and he's been a real help for me to set up what we're doing. We're on a different scale altogether. My details there, if you're interested in getting in touch, my email address, I'll put it up at the end as well. And there's a copy of this presentation at that URL. And again, I'll put it up at the end to save you scribbling it down. So a little bit about the school. We are a brand new school. This is our second year of operation, 2010. We're the country's first state-funded senior high school. So we're just 5th, 6th and 7th form. This is a new model of education for New Zealand. There is an Albany Junior High, and that's Form 1, 2, 3 and 4. The students then come through to us for the final 3 years, the NCEA years, of what we know as year 11, 12, and 13. We have this year 450 students with a projected roll size of around 1,400, so it's a reasonably large scale operation. We're projected to hit that roll within about 5 years, such as the growth in the Albany area. And we have a beautiful building. It's been nominated for an award for the OECD for an exemplary education institution. We have no classrooms. If you walk into our school, there are a number of things that you'll see immediately as being different. We don't have classrooms. What we have is what we call learning commons, the five classroom equivalent flexible open learning spaces. And within each one of those learning commons, there might be four or five classes, different subjects, different year levels going on. So that's probably the first thing that will strike you if you walk into our school, is the literal openness. And that's designed around philosophies. The building supports philosophies of openness and collaboration. So working across subjects and working across year levels, flexibility, making sure that the educational program that's being delivered within them meets the needs of the students who are sitting in front of you. That is the building. It is, as I said, a beautiful building. It's just being finished off at the moment. It's located on Albany Highway in Albany. So a little bit of introduction. This is our vision. We nurture, we inspire, and we empower to achieve highly and become good citizens. That's the thing that we're trying to achieve. When we set up the school, you don't need to read all of these. These are our 10 values that underpin our vision. This is what we value. And what we did at the beginning of the process, we were employed, the senior leadership team was employed for a year to set up the school, and we started putting things together, coming back to that vision and these values. So when we had a decision to make, like, will we have a school bell, we would go back to the vision and say, does it nurture, inspire, empower to have a school bell? Does it support these kinds of things, flexibility to have a school bell? Probably not, because a school bell means that learning starts now according to somebody else's time frame, learning stops now according to somebody else's time frame. So we don't have a school bell. But what I'm trying to say is that we come back to the vision and the values when we make every decision that needs to be made. So one of the first things we did was start to think about the kinds of educational technologies we would use, the paths we would go down, and we went back to this. And a few of these values came forward as being really important. The idea of fairness, open, these are probably familiar to you. And we actually sat down. I knew a wee bit about open source. I had actually used Linux. I had used Ubuntu a couple of times before. I'd used Firefox a lot. Firefox was my favorite browser, and so I was not afraid of open source. And I thought, well, actually, I can't construct an argument for using proprietary software that is in accordance with our vision and values. It's actually impossible for us to hold dear to these values and to use proprietary software. So we have to be an open source school. And it was actually a decision that made itself. It was a very easy decision to make, actually. Then I just passed it over to open system specialists and said, make it so. We are an open source school. So that is a wee bit about us. We've got 200 desktop computers. We'll have 400 within, 2 years as the school continues to grow. 500 staff laptops. We have one computer that runs XP because our business manager likes MYOB, but we've just beginning the process of migrating her to an online accounting system, and that XP computer will disappear. So that will be one thorn out of my side. So I'll tell you a wee bit about the kinds of environments we have. Moodle, very, very important to us. It's our learning management system. Catalyst hosts our Moodle down here, even though we're in Albany. Because we're on a fibre loop, we're on the vector fibre loop up there, we're able to host a lot of our environments off-site, which means that we don't have to be experts. We have one computer technician, Brijesh, and he doesn't need to support everything because we outsource it. We use Moodle as our learning management system. And that is a screenshot from moodleinschools.org.nz, which is a community site that the Ministry of Education and Catalyst have set up to support people like us working in Moodle. We use Mahara as our e-portfolio system. I think Penny's going to talk about Mahara at some stage in the conference, which is absolutely fantastic. All of our student learning and all of our staff performance appraisal happens through an e-portfolio system. We have multiple e-portfolios. We work on group presentations, and it's all showcased through here. So we don't have appraisal meetings. Well, we have appraisal meetings, but it's basically just to talk around the e-portfolio that's been developed over the course of the year. That's true for staff and students as well. We use Koha, and I know Chris Cormack's here. He's going to talk about Koha after lunch, I think. As our library management system, it is absolutely fantastic, best library management system in the world. That is, it's a little hard to see, but that's a details page from an item. Can I talk about the recommendations feature? Yes. Chris built this brilliant recommendations feature. You'll notice that there's a 5-star rating with each of these books. We had that developed. Every item has the ability to be rated, to have comments and reviews written on it. But then we wanted to take it a step further and said to Chris, what if we went to an item page like this and we wanted to get recommendations of similar kinds of books? How difficult would that be to do? And of course, Chris did it. And so you see the little word recommendations there. What it does is you click on that and it will query that the patrons who have taken that book out look through their borrowing history and see similarities. So what you do is you find similar kinds of books. If I like The Secret Life of Bees, 6 people have also read who've read that book have also read The Truth About Forever. 4 people have also read Twilight. So it's basically a recommendations tapping into the existing information in the database, and it's a brilliant feature which we've committed. I think we're in the process of committing to the 3.2 release. So that modest investment that we made is now going around the world. The only thing that's, well, the two things that are slightly proprietary in our environment. One is this. We use Google hosted apps for email documents, calendars, all that sort of stuff. It is truly stunning collaborative software. I wish it was open source. It's not. But the collaboration that students are able to do using this suite is quite incredible. And because it runs in Firefox, does it kind of make it open source? Kind of. We use, so that's the kind of teaching and learning environments. What you're seeing here is a screen capture of a history textbook, an online history textbook that my students built using the Wiki Educator platform. Wiki Educator is a movement for free, portable, remixable teaching and learning content. It's the fastest growing Wiki-based teaching and learning site in the world. And so I created an outline of what the textbook, what I thought the textbook should be. The students over the course of the topic built this textbook, which is now free and open and remixable for everybody in the rest of the world who wants to learn about all the topics that we're working on. This is our digital signage system. Shane Geddes, do you want to wave, Shane? Shane's one of our students, and he's built this system. This is built on a digital signage system called Exibo, runs on an Apache server, and for one of his projects, Shane built us a digital signage system that pulls in the RSS feed from our Moodle news forum. So within 5 minutes of me posting a new item to Moodle, it's on the screens around the school. Shane's a really, really talented young man, and he's been sponsored to the conference by Steve Vincent from TechnologyWise, who's sitting next to him. So it's a pretty exciting system. This is our digital video server. We call it OurTube. So it's a web-based open source video library, essentially, that supports all Web2 stuff, tagging and RSS feeds and comments and subscriptions and things like that. Shane and another student, Lexman, built this system for us. And so now we have our own YouTube built. It's built on Plone, using the Plume plugins. And that's now available for all of our students hooked into our LDAP server, log in and access your homework, the documentary on whatever that you're doing for the homework. Very, very quickly, I haven't got much time, but we do have some hardware. We have some Dell Optiplexes. They all run Ubuntu. They're in the process of being upgraded to 9.1, which will then give us access to Ubuntu One, which is 2 gig worth of free cloud storage for all of our students. So if they're running Ubuntu at home, they basically just get access to all their school files without terribly many security issues. And if they're using it on or working at home on a Windows or an Apple PC, then they've got a web-based interface to get access to their files. So basically they've got 2 gig free cloud storage using Ubuntu One. OpenOffice, of course, it's a mainstay. We use FreeMind, which is mind management software, mind mapping software. GIMP, there's a suite of design tools, GIMP and Inkscape and Scribus. We also have Blender 3D. Blender's quite advanced for our students. We have a group of Year 11 students, fifth form students, who taught themselves Blender last year and managed to produce some animations. But between those four applications, GIMP, Inkscape, Scribus, and Blender, we've got a pretty impressive design suite. We also use QCAD for CAD design. There are dozens and dozens of subject-specific curriculum-based software. This is KSEG, which is a Geometer's Sketchpad application. Stellarium for studying astronomy. We've got about 3 or 4 different video editing applications. This is PTV. We also have Kino and KDN Live and AVI DMux and just a whole spectrum depending on how competent the students are. And that's one of the great things about being open source. It doesn't cost us anything to put 4 video editors on. One of the issues that we came up really early on was we had Wine installed we thought we might use it, and one of the first things the kids did was bring their Windows games in, and use our really, really fast, good machines for big LAN parties using pirated software. And so we sat down and had a conversation about it and said, well, you know, you're breaching the law and there's a problem for me and this, that and the other thing. And we actually went through it as a problem-solving exercise where we kind of said, well, what do you want to achieve? And they said, yeah, we want first-person shooters. We want things like Nexus and we want Alien Arena. They were playing the Windows equivalents of these. And so we did a bit of a research project and found these open-source games. It's not just the first-person shooters. We've got, again, because it doesn't cost us a thing, we've installed flight simulators, Frets on Fire, the guitar thing. And the students came to us and said, we've noticed that there aren't many strategy games. We've researched strategy games that are open source and available for Linux. We'd like the following ones installed. So, of course, yep. And we put them on the next day. The senior leadership team, we use Android phones. So these are HTC Magic phones, and there's a whole lot of really cool software that's available for this. This is a really, really nice Google Sky Map where you turn the camera on, say, where's Venus, and it points you over and says, you know, that's Venus over there. So all of this sort of stuff is starting to come on board. It's really nice. We were tossing up between the iPhone, the very, very attractive iPhone, and the largely unknown Android. We went with the Android and have not looked back. It's absolutely stunning. One of the really cool things about Android is WikiTu. Each one of those yellow dots or blobs is a wiki-based node of content, and that's Manhattan. So you turn your camera on, hold your phone up, and if there's a node of content, a little speech bubble will pop up and say, this is the site of the World Trade Center, or this is the Empire State Building. That's all wiki-based, and so what my students have been doing is been building those nodes of content for the history course that we've been doing. So if you go and wander around Auckland and turn your Android phone on, you'll actually be finding information that students have researched and embedded in that landscape using this augmented reality technology. And this is one of my favorite things of all time. This with a bit of help from the Koha community. These have a barcode scanner. And so what you do is you go into the bookstore and you turn on the barcode scanner. And if you find a book that you want to read, what you can do is scan the ISBN. What it then does is query Koha, our open source library management system, using an ISBN query. If we have a copy of that book, it will pull up the record for it. If not, then you've got the opportunity to buy that book or to recommend it for purchase, just to go straight through to the librarian. And so this is just literally out of that barcode, calling up the entry for that book. In that book, you can, or in that entry, you can see the rating that other students have given it out of 5. You can read reviews of it. If it's out, you can place a reserve on it. You can reviews and recommendations and those kinds of things. The recommendations feature also links into this as well. So if you like that book, but you want to find other books. And that's all just out of using an outstanding library management system and a custom search on this phone where you just specify the URL of the library catalogue that you want to query. That was a very, very cool thing. So that's me, very, very quickly. It's been really, really exciting. It's worked outstandingly well, largely due to the support we've had, I'm sure. It hasn't been pain-free, but we've managed to solve just about every problem we've come across. And it's a really exciting future, I think, ahead of us for more open school or open source schools in New Zealand. Any quick questions before I finish? Yeah, at the back. Yep. Yes. Wouldn't be hard. They're all in educational institutions. It all has to be moderated. So every single thing, all those comments on Koha, on our tube, everything is moderated through a moderation list, and there's a fair bit of discretion. We're dealing with teenagers, so there's pluses and minuses, always surprises. Yep. No. One of the great enablers for us was that because we were a greenfield site, we were not locked into supporting legacy systems, so we didn't have to be supporting a dozen different environments. We could start fresh and just put our money or spend it really wisely. Yep.
Have you had any support from government or any?
They're still quite wary of us. There is some, shall I say, backdoor or very quiet support, but not openly. They haven't come out and said this is the way that all schools should go. But some of the integration work around our tube, we're setting up an identity and access management server and things. The ministry is doing a bit of funding of that on the quiet. Last question. Yep. Where will the students go from being in this environment? People like Shane and the other students, I think we've got three students here at the conference. Those students are actually creating a portfolio of demonstrable skills and environments. And I think the world's their oyster. Shane is going to be very well sought after. He's only been with us for 1 year. He's got two more years. He's not allowed to leave until the end of year 13 because he's got too much work to do. Yeah, I think it's wonderful to be able to say, here's an open environment, just go for it. Experiment, problem solve. Shane's got a rack server in the shed at home, so he just installs things and plays with it and troubleshoots and fixes it, and then on Monday he'll come in and say, I've solved that problem, fixed it. Yeah.
I noticed that you're using a Macintosh to do your...
Oh, this is the computer I was given. I do actually have a Mac, which I dual boot Ubuntu and OS X. Yeah. Okay, I think I've taken enough of your time. Thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you over the rest of the conference.
Thank you, Mark. And you're happy for people to come and ask you questions during the day?
Yep.
So just look for Mark if you have any more questions.